ਕਿ ਉਂਗਲੀਆਂ ਚੱਟਦੇ ਰਹਿ ਜਾਓਗੇ। ਭਾਰੇ ਥੱਲੇ ਵਾਲੀਆਂ ਲੋਹੇ ਦੀਆਂ ਕੜਾਹੀਆਂ 10% ਆਫ, ਸਟੀਲ ਦੇ ਤੇ ਸਟੇਨਲੈਸ ਸਟੀਲ ਦੇ ਪਤੀਲੇ, ਵੱਡੇ ਵੱਡੇ ਪਤੀਲੇ 10% ਆਫ ਲੈ ਸਕਦੇ ਹੋ। ਇਸ ਤੋਂ ਇਲਾਵਾ ਪ੍ਰੋਪੇਨ ਵਾਲੇ ਚੁੱਲ੍ਹੇ 15% ਆਫ ਤੇ ਵਾਣ ਵਾਲੇ ਮੰਜੇ 10% ਆਫ ਲੈ ਸਕਦੇ ਹੋ। 12050 ਏਅਰਪੋਰਟ ਰੋਡ ਤੇ ਪਹੁੰਚੋ, ਕੈਲਟਨ ਸਬਜ਼ੀ ਫਾਰਮ, 905-840-9000, 905-840-9000।
Assalamu alaikum, how are you today? I hope you're doing well.
Stick around to be inspired.
Bismillahir Rahman.
To another edition of the Muslim Perspectives. Our selection today from the Quran is taken from all of chapter 104. Surah Al-Humazah. So let's tune in and then subsequently we'll get an explanation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Waylun likulli humazatin lumazah alladhi jama'a malahu wa 'addadah yahsabu anna malahu akhladah kalla layunbadhanna fil hutamah. وما أدراك ما الحطمة نار الله الموقدة التي تطلع على الأفئدة إنها عليهم مؤصدة في عمد ممددة.
In English, it means, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Woe to every backbiter, slanderer, who amasses wealth greedily and counts it repeatedly, thinking that their wealth will make them immortal. Not at all. Such a person will certainly be tossed into the crusher. And what will make you realize what the crusher is? It is Allah's kindled fire, which rages over the hearts. It will be sealed over them and tightly secured with long braces. That's the meaning of chapter 104, Surah Al-Humazah. And on the line, we have Sheikh Zahir Baqis, who is the deputy imam, although we can recognize him as the imam of Jamaatul Ansar, or what we know as the Great Lakes Mosque, and also a member of the Council of Canadian Imams. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Aleem.
Thank you very much for joining us, and can you give us a bit of an explanation of the meanings of these verses?
Sure, inshallah ta'ala. This, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This surah, Humazah, to begin, it is a Meccan surah, and it's very important that we distinguish what the Meccan and the Medina surahs are. The Meccan surahs are the surahs or the ayahs that came down, the verses that came down prior to the Prophet, may God bless him and grant him peace, migrating to Medina. And these verses in particular, the Meccan verses, are important because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to firm up the hearts of the believers. He wanted to firm them up in the belief of Him, in the Akhirah, in the next life, and knowing that the purpose of the next, of this world, is to attain felicity and joy and success in the next world. So the verses that came in the Meccan period, is to get the believers now to think that let's look at the purpose of why we're here and work towards it. And let's look at what the things that we have in this world and the worldly things and put into perspective when it comes to us going and going to the next world. And so it's a Meccan surah. So Humaza, it starts off Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, وَيْلَ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةِ اللُّمَزَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, woe to every fault-finding backbiter. Now, Humaza and Lumaza are similar in meanings. They're similar in meanings. And so woe here, while, comes in other places in the Quran. It means that you're going to receive a severe punishment. You're going to receive a severe punishment. And you're going to receive a punishment because of the sins of what will come next, of what Allah will bring next. So while likulli, kull means everyone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, woe to, or the punishment's going to come to every humaza, lumaza. Who is humaza and lumaza? Humaza is the one who slanders people. The one who backbites. The one who does actions, right? Some of the ulama say that it's the one who does actions that causes you to causes people to think wrong of the person. Like a wink here, a wink there, a head roll here, a head roll there, that it's actions that you do to disparage of someone, to make someone look bad, who's not there. And lumaza is when you use it in front of them, when you badmouth them in front of them. When they're in a group of company and you say something bad about them and you embarrass them in front of people. This is why lulikuli humaza til lumaza. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the believers here, right? Woe to everyone who is backbiting and slandering and fault finding, that they're doing this, right? In order to get ahead of people. Why are they doing it? Because they want people to think of better than them. They want people to elevate them. So they want to be elevated by stepping on the reputation and honor of others. They want to elevate themselves and make themselves look good. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Alladhi jama'a mala wa'addada." Now Allah, He gives them a characteristic. The people who are going to face this punishment because they're backbiting, they're slandering others, they're ruining the reputation of people and so forth. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allazi jama'a malan wa addada. They amass wealth. They are amassing wealth and they're addada, they're counting it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now why? Now, we all work. We amass wealth. We work. We may save. Right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are the ones who amass wealth. They gather the wealth of this world and they count it. They arrange it. Meaning what? That what Allah is saying is that they have no other purpose beside it. They're not arranging it and amassing it so that they can take care of their loved ones and their dependents and they can help the community and they can help relatives and they can help the orphans and they can help this and they see wealth as a means of giving more sadaqah and rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, they are simply doing it. They're amassing and counting it because they want to hold on to it. Because to them it's honor. To them it's something respectable. To them they are higher than others. They are better than others. The more wealth they have, they're better than others. The bigger the car, the bigger the house, they're better than others. That's what they think. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He classifies them under this category of they're going to receive wild. They're going to receive severe punishment for what they have doing in terms of wealth. That because of their wealth, they think they can do whatever they want to do. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَعْلُهُ أَخْلَدَ. And look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So Allah puts what they do with their tongues and actions. Then he moves on about what they actually do in the purpose of them in their life is to gather wealth and count it and make sure that it's there and make sure that it's not diminishing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? Why they do this? Why are they doing this? يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَعَلَهُ أَخْوَدَ. Because he believes and he thinks that his wealth will render him immortal. He thinks that with all this wealth that he has, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be here. I'm wealthy and I'm going to stay. I'm going to be here. Because the wealth that he has, it deceives him into thinking that death is near to him. That death is near. And that deception causes him to fall into more deception. And causes this person to be in this cycle that they think they can control all matters because they're rich, because they have wealth, because they think that their wealth is going to cause them to live long or live forever or render them immortal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, akhlada, that they're going to live forever. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something in store for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something in store for them because they're thinking that this is what they're going to do. They're going to just live forever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them what? كَلَّا لَيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says no. كَلَّا. Nay. This is not going to happen. This is not the way things are going to be. No, indeed, Allah. Kalla means no, certainly. La yumbadhanna fil hutama. He will be thrust into the crusher. And the crusher, hutama, is one of the names of the fire. And he'll be flung into the crusher, or the one that will rip his body apart. The fire. Allah SWT describes it as such. Right? The thing that, the hutama, the things that consume, that is going to consume him. The fire is going to consume him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't think this. This is the reply to him. You want honor and dignity by putting down others, making fun of others, being haughty with others, bullying others, taking the reputation of others and destroying it, backbiting and slandering people, right? Because you have wealth and you amass it, and you think you're going to stay here forever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wait until. That's not going to happen. Wait until you're flung. لَلْيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ. Wait until you're flung into that fire. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what does he say? وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَةِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and what will convey to you what the hutama is, what the consuming one is, what the crusher is. What will convey to you, O Muhammad? The question is to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What will this be? What's hutama? And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show that there is a severity and a tremendousness, that this is not going to be easy for them. The hutama is not going to be easy, because he wants to say to their prophet, you can't even imagine what that's going to be like. And they can't even imagine what that's going to be like. They can't. They won't be able to imagine what that's going to be like. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُتَمَا. What will explain to you, convey to you what the crusher is? نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوْقَدَ. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fire of Allah, that Allah has made. Muqada, that is made to blaze. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this fire blaze. And it's not going to end. It's not going to end. There's a fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is going to blaze and be kindled. Muqada, meaning that it's going to continue, and it's just going to be kindled. And kindled with who? With them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve and protect us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is describing what's going to happen It's a fire that's going to blaze with them. Allati tattaliu ala al-afida. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he say about their hearts? Allati tattaliu ala al-afida. That fire that's made to blaze, which rises over their hearts, people's hearts. It will rise over their hearts, meaning it's going to surround all of them. The entirety of their body is going to be consumed by this fire. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now painting a picture. What does he want to paint to you? That if you have these traits, and you're haughty or arrogant, and you're going to think that you're going to amass wealth, and you're better than people because you have more wealth than them, and because you have all the bling in the world, and you think for some reason that's your power, because you have wealth, it's your power. And because you have wealth and power, it means that you can bully someone, you can take care of someone, you can disparage of whoever you want, force people to do whatever you want. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to paint a picture. No, you're going to face the fire. You're going to be subsumed into the fire. It's going to consume you, the fire. Allati tatila al-afida, over even in your heart. Inna alayhim mu'sada, and it encloses upon them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. It closes in on them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing because he wants them to imagine it. You know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants? He wants them to imagine that this is going to close in on them. They're not going to escape from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paints it because he wants to tell them, you're not going to escape from it. And in the last verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? Fi amadim mumaddada. In towering columns, meaning the fire. The fire is going to reach in columns, right? Meaning that the bottom of it's going to be deep. That they're not even going to think, they're not even going to assume that they can get out of it. They're not even going to assume that they can get out of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the surah is a surah that strikes at the heart. Because what it enables you to do as believers, as people of God, or people who believe in God, what enables you to do is think. We believe in an afterlife. So what is it that we are doing here in this world? How do we see ourselves? Do we see ourselves better than others because we have a better car? Because we have better clothing? Because we are a better shoe? Because we live in a better place, a better city, a better part of the city, because we have a bigger house? Do we think that we're better than another person? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't think that. Because that's not the purpose of this life. The purpose of this life is not to amass wealth. The purpose of this life is to amass good deeds for the next world. The purpose of this life is to get along in harmony with people. The purpose of this life is not to put people down in order for you to be better than them or to look better than them, step on them on your way up the social ladder or the reputation ladder. No, the purpose of this life is harmony with people. Leave this world with people, very few people thinking bad of you. Leave this world, very few people thinking bad. Because sometimes you can't leave, sometimes there are people who, no matter what you do, they'll think bad of you. Well, you can't help that. But at least the generality of people you have good relationships with, and you try to have good relationships with everyone, and you try to help. And so if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you wealth, what should you do with it? Help the people that don't have, because maybe Allah gave it to you to be a means to help them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning the disbelievers. He's warning the disbelievers by way, he's warning everyone that don't think that you're going to escape from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't think you're going to escape from what Allah has in store. Don't think you're going to escape or Allah doesn't know what you're doing in this world and how you think you're in control of it. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has control of it. So he promises them these things. And so this is Suratul Humazzah. It's very important, you know, that we read the surahs and we take it in and we try to apply in our lives the message of the surah, even if it's meant to go to disbelievers or non-believers. We should take it in and see, are we guilty of any of this? Are we guilty of humazah? Are we guilty of lumazah? Are we guilty of protecting our wealth and amassing it and counting it and worrying about it? Are we checking our bank account every day and the stocks that we have every day? We're checking, how are they doing? How is it? Are we up? Are we down? What is it that we're doing? We can reflect, and we should reflect. We definitely should reflect. Is this talking to us? Is it talking to us directly, or is it indirectly talking to us? Are we guilty of some of it, or are we guilty a lot of it? And what can we do to remove ourselves from these types of traits? Allahu A'lam, we should try and think and contemplate over the verses and over the surahs of Quran, the chapters of Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the insight to remove any of this from ourselves and to understand the purpose of this world and help us to attain to felicity and joyfulness in the next world. Ameen.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair, Imam Zahir Bakas. Thank you very much for that explanation. Allah bless you and keep you well. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Look after you too. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve and protect you.
Ameen.
But I know one day you will realize it's the mercies of God that has kept us alive. We will sing a new song for justice, and we will go through. You've got to focus your eyes on the prize. If you slip, you will slide, and from God you can't hide. We will sing a new song for justice, and we will go through. And if you don't have no love in your heart, then we'll have to depart, because you need love to start. To sing a new song for justice, for peace to go through. And although it can bite me down, I get stronger and stronger. I'm always around. I'm rooted and ground for justice, still I go through.
Yes, indeed, still we are go through for justice. That Quran ayah speaks about Wailulli kulli humazati lumaza. Two concepts, humaza and lumaza, as the Imam was explaining. This is moral reasoning within the Quran, and it can legitimately encompass modern fake news, propaganda, and narrative manipulation used to manufacture consent. This is not a forced metaphor. It is a faithful extension of the classical categories to new instruments of power. Let us examine this more carefully, step by step. Staying anchored in classical tafsir principles or explanation of the Quran. Starting with Humaza, classical scholars, Al-Tabari, Al-Ibn Kathir, Al-Qutubi, speaks about humaza being backbiting, whispered defamation, secret signaling, gestures, insinuations, coded speech, character destruction without open accountability. And the meaning of lumaza, open mockery, public shaming, ridicule, derision meant to lower someone's social standing. Al-Qurtubi says these sins are defined by function, not by medium. Quranic principle, it means change, moral reality does not. The Quran repeatedly applies the same moral categories to speech, writing, gestures, power-packed communication. There is no requirement that humaza be spoken face-to-face. Ibn Ashur, later classical tafsir mufassir, explainer of the Quran, says, any communicative act that intentionally degrades dignity falls under these categories. So the question is not what tool is used, but is speech being weaponized to degrade, delegitimize, or mislead? Fake news as institutional humaza. Fake news and propaganda often operate by selective omission, anonymous sourcing, repetition of insinuation, emotional priming, plausible deniability. This maps exactly onto humaza, covert, indirect, hard to trace, intentionally corrosive. The Quranic analogy, whisper campaign scaled by algorithms. This is humaza with infrastructure. The public narrative framing as lumaza. Corporate and state media often mock resistance movements, reduce victims to statistics, portray oppressed groups as irrational, violent, or backward, normalize injustice through tone, headlines, and imagery. This is lumaza, public, performative, reputationally destructive. The Quran condemns not only lies, but humiliation as policy. Manufacturing consent equals systemic humaza plus lumaza. Manufacturing consent relies on repetition, authority, emotional normalization, marginalization of dissent. From a Quranic lens, this is humaza background narrative conditioning, and lumaza overt ridicule of alternatives. This is why Surah Al-Humaza links speech crimes with wealth and power. The Quranic accountability for speech with power. The Quran is explicit. Speech is not morally neutral. Influence multiplies accountability. We can look to chapter 33, verse 70 of the Quran. It speaks words of integrity. Kaulan sadida. We can look to Quran 24:15. You thought it insignificant, but with Allah it is great. Quran chapter 49, verse 6. Verify information from unreliable sources. Fake news violates all three. Why this is more severe than individual gossip? Classical scholars held the greater the harm potential, the greater the sin. Modern propaganda shapes elections, justifies wars, enables mass suffering, silences entire populations. Quran escalation, private gossip, moral failure, industrial deception, structural oppression. Addressing a possible objection. But humaza and lumaza were about individuals, not institutions. The classical response of the Mufassirs are the Quran condemns traits, not job titles. Pharaoh, elites, scribes, and traders are condemned as systems. Institutions are morally accountable when they act with intent. Institutions do not escape ethics by scale. The final Quranic judgment. Yes, deliberate fake news and propaganda designed to manufacture consent fall squarely under humaza and lumaza when they degrade dignity, normalize oppression, protect wealth and power, silence truth. And when paired with wealth concentration, they form a complete Quranic indictment of elite narrative dominance. So in one sentence, Surah Al-Humaza condemns not only malicious tongues, but malicious information systems. Let's listen now to a Bob Marley classic, War.
Until the philosophy which hold one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until they're no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes, miss a war. That until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race, this a war. That until that day, the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, rule of international morality.
been toppled, totally destroyed. Well, everywhere is war. There's a war. War in the east. War in the west. War up north. War down south. War, war. Rumors of a war. And until that day, we find it necessary, and we know we shall win, as we are confident in the victory of good over evil.
Bob Marley and the war. The Quranic ethical demands, or what God demands of us ethically, is that justice, or qist, as we'd explored last episode, must be actively upheld. 2. Wealth must circulate, not concentrate. 3. Outcomes matter, not intentions alone. 4. Human dignity is intrinsic, not earned. 5. Power must be restrained morally, not merely procedurally. A Quranic axiom is a system that predictably produces injustice is itself unjust.
Wake up, it's a long night, darling. Wake up, it's the brightest sky. No love, it's a dark night, darling. Hold on to me for dear life. Wake up, where do we go to? Wake up, fire, fire in your eye. Oh love, we will try to come and save you. It's all just a matter of time. Wake up, won't you listen to the people? Wake up from the mountain of the lies. No love you've been upon through every sequel. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake. Wake up, call your brother, call your mother. Wake up under aid from the sky. Oh love, we're digging deeper in the rubble. Hold on to my voice outside. Wake up, we just lost another family. Wake up, cause we need the world to see. No love, they won't ever understand us. Too bad, we're just bodies on a screen. Wake up, they don't care about the people. Wake up, they don't care about you too. Oh love, if you're walking with the people, hold on, cause they're coming for you. Wake up, little boy, they don't want you. Wake up, you might threaten their plan. Run, run, run before they come and find you.
Grow up till you're taught to fight back.
Yes, there's a concept called Zulum, or oppression. But that is in the Quran, and that is more than individual wrongdoing. The Quranic definition is zulm, or oppression, is placing things out of their proper place, denying people their due rights, using power to benefit oneself at others' expenses. The key verses that are referenced are chapter 11, verse 113, do not incline toward oppressors. Quran 42:42, blame lies on those who oppress people and transgress without right. Quran chapter 28, verse 76 to 82, Karun as archetype of elite arrogance. The classical consensus, oppression includes systems not just acts, as against the neoliberal expression of oppression, meaning deregulation enabling exploitation, privatization of necessities, water, healthcare, housing, socializing losses, privatizing profits, labor treated as cost, not dignity. These are predictable harms, not accidents. So let's now listen to another track by Joshua Moore, Rohingya.
They were people with a stolen story. Caught between here and nowhere. They cried out, but no one heard them. Wandering at home in exile, they were wandering at home in exile. They were people with a stolen story, caught between here and nowhere. They cried. Here and nowhere.
sight. Oh. And they were wandering at all in exile.
Joshua Moore, as he sang Rohingya et al. The question arises, does systems have a moral code or a moral accountability? From the Quranic perspective, it does. The Quran repeatedly condemns societies where elites extract surplus, where the poor are blamed, where inequality is normalized, where power is aestheticized. Examples. Speaking about the Ad, the people of Ad, chapter 89, verse 68, power without restraint. The Thamud, Quran chapter 91, verse 11 to 15, arrogance over accountability. Pharaoh, chapter 28, verse 4, class stratification by design. These were systematic orders, not just tyrants. So from a Quranic standpoint, neoliberalism is not morally neutral. It is a system that institutionalizes oppression, delegitimizes justice, and quiets the conscience through narrative control. The Quran does not ask, is the market efficient? It asks, who is crushed, who benefits, and who controls the story? That's the Quranic perspective. Let's listen to Sam Cooke as he sings, A Change Is Gonna Come.
It's been a long But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Sam Cooke, as he sang, "A Change Is Gonna Come." Let's listen now to a bit of Cat Stevens, now Yusuf Islam, as he sings "Peace Train."
Brooks, I'm writing a paper on them. This is the last thing standing between me and break, and I need to crush it. I'm a geologist.
Come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world as one. And I believe it could be, someday it's going to come. But out on the edge of darkness, there rides the peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Now, I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be, something good has begun. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
Ooh, ooh. Come on the peace train. Get peace train, holy roller.
Everyone jump up on the peace train.
Come on, the peace train. Get your facts together. Go bring your good friends too. Because it's getting nearer. It soon will be with you. And come and join the living. It's not the fall from you. And it's getting nearer. Soon it will all be true. Oh, peace train sounding louder. About the world as it is. Why must we go on hating? Why can't we live in bliss? Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides the peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country. Come take me home again. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
Come on, the peace train. It's peace train, holy rolling.
Everyone jump up on the peace train.
Yes, indeed. Today we've been looking at Surah Humaza, and of the Quran it says, "Waile kulli humaza til humaza," and also reflecting on how it is dealt with in contemporary times, how we can use these concepts to understand what's taking place in contemporary times. One of the biggest contributors to Humaza and Lumaza is the corporate media. And the corporate media does not usually lie outright. Instead, it frames victims as threats, normalizes structural violence, ridicules or marginalizes dissenting voices, humanizes power, and dehumanizes resistance. This is institutional humaza, smearing protest as chaos, calling exploitation market forces, branding resistance as extremism, treating mass suffering as unfortunate but complex. The Quran condemns not only what is said, but how power uses speech. Let's listen now to the last final sermon of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of God be with him.
Under the scorching sun, on the plains of Arafat, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered his final sermon. O people, listen to my words carefully, for I know not whether after this year I shall ever meet you again at this place. O people, your lives and your property are sacrosanct until you meet your Lord, as are this holy place, this holy day, and this holy month. Remember that you will indeed meet your Lord and answer for your deeds. So beware. Whoever of you is holding a trust, let him return it to its rightful owner. All usury is abolished. Your capital, however, is yours to keep. Wrong not, and you shall not be wronged. All bloodshed from the pagan age of ignorance is to be left unavenged. O people, the devil has lost all hope of ever being worshipped in this land of yours. Nevertheless, he will try to mislead you in smaller matters. Beware of him, therefore, for the safety of your religion. Time has turned, and it is as it was the day that God created the heavens and the earth. The number of months is 12. 4 of them are holy, in which war and fighting are forbidden. O man, you have your rights over your wives, and they have rights over you. It is your right that they do not fraternize with anyone of whom you do not approve. But if they do, Allah has permitted you to isolate them within their homes and chastise them without cruelty. But if they abide by your rights, then they have the right to be fed and clothed in kindness. Do treat your women well and be kind to them, for they are your partners and committed helpers. You have taken them only as a trust from Allah, and you have their enjoyment only by His permission. So listen to me in earnest, O people, and reason well. I leave behind me 2 things, the Quran and my example. If you follow them, you will not go astray. O people, listen to my words. Know that every Muslim is a brother to every Muslim, and that all Muslims constitute one brotherhood. It is only lawful to take from a brother what he gives you willingly, so wrong not yourselves. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then faced the heavens and said, Be my witness, O Allah, that I have conveyed your message to your people. It was then that some of the final words of the Quran were revealed.
Yes, indeed, those are, as read by Yusuf Islam, the final sermon of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings God be of God be with him. When the Prophet arrived in Medina after he sought refuge there, the Sahabas, this companion, sang this song, Tala al-Badr alayna. Here is a cover of it with a Jamaican reggae style. That's Mo Ali, and until next week, inshallah, peace out. Leave you with Mohideen Chisti's words, final words before he passed on.
One of the greatest saints of our history was a great saint named Mo'inuddin Chisti. And the last talk that he gave to his students is how I'd like to talk to you, because I don't think I could do anything better than Mo'inuddin Chisti. He said to his students as he was departing the world, love all and hate none. Mere talk of peace will avail you not. Mere talk of God and religion will not take you far. Bring out all the latent powers of your being. One of the greatest saints of our history was a great saint named Moinuddin Chisti. And the last talk that he gave to his students is how I'd like to talk to you, because I don't think I could do anything better than Moinuddin Chisti. He said to his students as he was departing the world, "Love all and hate none. Mere talk of peace will avail you not. Mere talk of God and religion will not take you far. Bring out all the latent powers of your being and reveal the full magnificence of your immortal self. Be overflowing with peace and joy and scatter them wherever you go, wherever you are. Be a blazing fire of truth, be a beauteous blossom of love, and be a soothing balm of peace. With your spiritual light, dispel the darkness of ignorance. Dissolve the clouds of discord and war, and spread goodwill, peace, and harmony among the people. Never seek any help, charity, or favors from anybody except God. Do not go to the courts of kings, but never refuse to bless and help the needy and the poor, the widow and the orphan, if they come to your door. This is your mission, to serve the people. Carry it out dutifully and courageously, so that I, as your teacher, will not be ashamed of any shortcomings on your part before Almighty God and our blessed predecessors in this silsila on the Day of Judgment." Alhamdulillah.
You are listening to WTOR 770 AM, Youngstown, Toronto.
चलो 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 दाना मंडी ग्रैंड ओपनिंग सेल 24 जनवरी सैटरडे के दिन सातों दिन खुलने की जगह दाना मंडी स्टोर स्पेशल शीतान के जूसेस 6 से 3.99 हलाल गोश्त सार्जन फार्म का एवरीथिंग ऑन द सेल अलमरवा का चिकन लीजिएगा लैम बीफ इसके अलावा अंदर बैठ के बड़े मजे मजे के चना भटूरा वेजिटेबल थाली वेजिटेबल बिरयानी आइए खाइए चिकन लेग तंदूरी भी दालें 3.99 की चार पाँच बहुत कुछ है जलेबियाँ पकौड़े समोसे इट्स अ ग्रैंड ओपनिंग लेट्स गो टू दाना मंडी 1729 क्वीन स्ट्रीट ईस्ट क्वीन एंड ब्रमली के इंटरसेक्शन पे
कैल्टन सब्जी फार्म किसी भी जानकारी दे मुताज नहीं है हुण तुसी इना दी किचन तो स्वादला भोजन सिर्फ $12 पर परसन नू ले सकदे हो स्वाद इना वधिया के उंगलियां चटदे रह जाओगे भारे थले वालियां लोहे दियां कढ़ाइयां 10% ऑफ स्टील दे ते स्टेनलेस स्टील दे पतीले वड्डे वड्डे पतीले 10% ऑफ ले सकदे हो इस अलावा प्रोपेन वाले चुल्ले 15% ऑफ ते वाण वाले मंजे 10% ऑफ ले सकदे हो 12050 एयरपोर्ट रोड ते पहुंचो कैल्टन सब्जी फार्म 905-840-9000
आप सुन रहे हैं आपका अपना रेडियो 770 AM हमारे प्रोग्राम को टोरंटो में सुनने के लिए डायल कीजिए 647-872-4900 मॉन्ट्रियल 514-907-6288 इसके अलावा कैलगरी वैंकूवर एडमिंटन और रिजाना के नंबर्स आप eawaz.com की वेबसाइट पर जाके हासिल कर सकते हैं हमारी लाइव 24 घंटे की नशे आपके लिए विजिट कीजिए eawaz.com लाइक करें फेसबुक पेज eawaz डाउनलोड करें फ्री eawaz ऑफिशियल ऐप रेडियो 770 AM वॉइस ऑफ कम्युनिटी फॉर मोर डिटेल्स विजिट eawaz.com
यू आर लिसनिंग टू WTOR 770 AM यंगस्टाउन टोरंटो WTOR 770 AM,